This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, Whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more five-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain.
As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today.
Welcome to the Rocket Ship Podcast. I'm Michael Sacca.
I'm Joelle Steiniger.
And I'm Matt Goldman.
We're having 20-minute talks with entrepreneurs teaching you how to launch your product into revenue.
Check out our book at buildarocketship.com to reserve your launch discount and download a free chapter.
Today we talked with Gordon Wintraub, co-founder of StackLead. He talks all about their unique approach to onboarding and activation. He walks us through their flow and shares the effectiveness of different techniques. He also shares some of the learnings that came out of Y Combinator.
We'd like to take a moment to thank our awesome sponsors. CodeShip makes continuous delivery simple and easy. Go to codeship.com/rocketship to get 20% off 3 months.
We'd also like to thank Envision App. Envision is by far the best prototyping and collaboration tool on the market. Go to envisionapp/rocketship to get the starter plan free for 90 days.
Customer.io is a modern email platform built for startups. Go to customer.io/rocketship to start sending emails that convert.
Welcome to the Rocketship Podcast. We're here with Gordon Wintraub, the co-founder of StackLead. Gordon, welcome.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. So, give us the quick pitch for StackLead.
Sure. So what StackLead does is we automatically research sales leads. So if you pretty much sell anything online, whether it's a SaaS business, a consulting agency, or you just run a blog and you're collecting a bunch of email subscribers, you deal a lot with email addresses. And so what we do is, given those emails, we crawl the web and tell you everything you want to know about who those people are, where they work, and are they a good fit for your product.
Very cool. You guys have an amazing onboarding experience.
Matt, if you want to kind of tell us, you were just amazed. You sent it over to me after seeing what they do. Matt, give us a quick kind of overview of what happens, and then we can go into some of the details.
Sure. It sounds like you guys have a couple different variations on it, but the one that I went through, it looked like I wasn't able to sign up from the homepage. So I put in my information to get more info about it. And a minute or two later, I got an email with my profile as if I was signing up for my list. So it said, this is Matt Goldman. He works at Small HQ. He's been there for this long. These are his different social accounts, etc. And it was super delightful to see not only a hit through the service of, you know, what it would be like using it, but to see it with my own information that was all accurate. So, and from there, I was able to sign up for the trial and start using the product, see the documentation, get going. I know that's one variation. Do you guys have anything else that you're using?
Yeah. So I guess, you know, there's two pieces on our homepage. The first that a lot of people see is, you know, front and center, there's a learn more form that basically encourages you to put in your email address and try out Stackly to basically see a sample of the results. And then we also have, you know, a more typical create an account flow where basically that puts you into a drip email campaign to sort of drive you to conversion. And so I guess the way when we think about sort of our entire analytics funnel, it's pretty much starts with, you know, there's a visitor to the website. Then at some point you create an account. At some point you then research a lead. And then eventually you hopefully upgrade your account and, you know, become a paying customer. And so for us, I think the one that you were seeing was that learn more form that gives you a sample report on your email.
And what are the results like between that and the other flow?
Well, let's actually back up for a second. Can you walk us through the flow and what services you use?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think one of the important things is that we use other SaaS tools, including Cookfeed, that are really helpful for kind of analyzing this and understanding it. So kind of forgetting about the learn more form for a second and just thinking about the more standard flow when you create an account, what we use is actually Customer.io. And so basically there's initially kind of an automated email that's pretty personalized and casual, and it just says, do you need any help getting started? Obviously, this is someone who's already expressed some amount of interest in Stackly, has been willing to put in their email address and password, and it just encourages them to, you know, respond to me if they have a question. It also includes my cell phone if they want to pick up the phone. So that's the first one. And then basically, if they don't go to that next step, which is researching an email, they get a follow-up about a week later. They basically ask, you know, are you still having issues, getting integrated? Are you maybe confused on the best way for your particular company? And so those are kind of the two touch points we have in Customer.io.
And what are the responses like to those?
Yeah. So for the first one, I guess across the, you know, entire funnel from visiting the website to or creating an account to actually researching a lead, it's about 40%. You know, we see if you kind of break it down to what's the actual impact of those emails, the first one gets us about 35% conversion. And then the second one adds about 5% more. So it's basically, you know, I think at that point, if you haven't taken the time to actually, you know, try out Stackly and actually use the service, it's sort of a quick way to re-engage you. And maybe there's someone who just, they forgot what they were doing, or, you know, they're busy that day, and sort of gets them back into the flow.
So have you played around with that first email, doing it manual or automatic, and, you know, seeing if there's an impact there? I think Colin from Customer.io wrote a bit about their welcome emails and how they've tried doing automatic ones that just welcome people to the product and manual ones where they take a sec and look up the customer's website and try to say something more personal to where it looks like a real email handwritten to them. Have you tried that at all?
Yeah, I guess we haven't done too much experimentation with it. The biggest thing is just the change from before we had it to once we had it implemented. Because beforehand, it was basically more manual and just a lot less consistent. And we saw essentially a 25% increase after turning on that automated email, even though it doesn't really include much personalization. Just like having that sort of, immediate follow-up is pretty key to getting people engaged.
This episode is brought to you by Yahoo Finance. Wouldn't it be great if you could see all of your investment and retirement accounts in one place? With Yahoo Finance, you can consolidate your views with multiple accounts into one hub and access the expert analysis you need to tend to your entire portfolio with confidence. Honestly, this has been a lifesaver for me. I've used Yahoo Finance to consolidate all of my various 401k and investment accounts so I can see everything all in one place. And it makes it incredibly easy to manage. So if you're struggling with that, check out Yahoo Finance. For over 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart a great investor, and that's how Yahoo Finance ensures that you have the insights to look at your wealth in its entirety. So go to yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. When Rainn Wilson realized he had a special gift for talking people to sleep, he had two choices: construct a massive speaker that would blast his voice to every person in the country, or invent a talking pillow. AT&T Business eventually talked him into the pillow thing. And backed by a reliable network, the only network with built-in security controls, Sleep with Rainn was a hit. Take your ideas to the moon and beyond at business.att.com. That's business.att.com.
Interesting. And for the learn more, how do you fall back when maybe you don't find information on that specific email address of the person that signed up for more information?
Yeah, that's a great point. So I actually just pulled the numbers for that. So basically, with the Learn More form, what we try to do is we try to produce a research report that includes a bunch of info on, your particular email address. And so sometimes we might not be able to find all of the social media profiles and company information. And one of the changes we made is we basically had a fallback so that instead of saying, here's a sample report, it's more educational about, here's some information about Stackleed and how easy it is to get started. And what I found from making that switch was that we increased conversion from filling out that Learn More form to creating an account. Before it was 15%, and after adding the fallback, it was 25%. So that's about a two-thirds increase from having that fallback email.
And then having a developer product like this, or a product that requires developer setup, people setting up an account is really step one. From there, what sort of things have you guys done to get people to actually integrate with your API?
Yeah, that's a good question. What we've really focused on is building integrations that let you use Stackleed where it's most useful for your workflow. So one of our best channels has been our add-on in the Google add-on store. Basically, what that means is that it requires no developer work to use the API. Instead, you just create a new Google spreadsheet with a list of emails, which a sales rep might have in a folder somewhere, or you can export from MailChimp or a bunch of other sources, paste it into a Google spreadsheet and hit one button, and that will pull in all of our research information. And so it's basically adding those sorts of integrations that make it so that you really don't need any custom dev work to get started with Stackleed.
So what are people doing with this data? Once they get it and you're enriching their customer profiles, how are they successful afterwards?
Yeah. So when we think about our customers, it really falls into kind of three different categories. The first group are basically younger companies that are really trying to understand their ideal customer profiles. So that's, say you've just launched your product, you're just kind of talking to your initial set of customers and trying to figure out who's actually signing up. And so for them, it's basically saving them some amount of manual time. Instead of each sign up as it comes in, we're automatically going out and pulling that information together. And also it's flagging, you know, potentially really high value signups, whether that's a notable blogger, a journalist, maybe a competitor who's just kicking the tires on your product. It's basically flagging those things for you. The second group are companies that are running an outbound campaign. So let's say that you, you know, are about to do a new product launch or a new integration, and you want to announce to all of your customers that, hey, we have this, but you want to target the most relevant group. So you can then use Stackly to say, oh, we have this new Marketo integration. Which of our customers are using Marketo? And just target them. And then I think the last piece, sorry if I'm going too long on this, but...
No.
Yeah, the last piece are basically larger sales teams. So sales teams that have 20-plus sales reps and that are using Salesforce, they need some more scalable way to qualify and assign their leads. And so using our Salesforce integration, which is really our most popular channel, they're able to do that automatically without spending their sales reps time on looking up each lead and making sure it gets into the right rep's hands.
So a lot of these integrations are unconventional in the sense that you didn't just come out with an API or an email hook. A lot of these are more non-developer-y. How did you discover the right ways? Like, did you know before you got started that Salesforce was going to be this popular source, or did you discover that after working with customers?
It was definitely from working with customers. To talk a little bit more about how we got started, we went through Y Combinator, the Winter 14 batch, so at the beginning of this year. And basically, our first meeting with Paul Graham, he said, you guys need to be lead consultants for everyone in the batch. You need to just like talk to them about how are they getting leads, have them forward you every one of their leads, and research it on their behalf. And so really, we spent a while there at the beginning with just about 20 or 30 other companies who were just forwarding us sign-up emails or email lists, and we were trying to come up with different ways to make them happy. And I think it was only from that process did we sort of get the whole system up and running, and then start with those email reports. And then from there, I think these, you know, other customer profiles sort of emerge, right? Because people see what you're doing and they say, oh, I really wish there was some way to use this in Salesforce or use this in my CRM. And that's how those other integrations came about.
Yeah, it's such a funky space where everyone probably has their own way of doing it, probably a lot of strange ways that people are using Excel or different CRMs. It's cool that you can either integrate directly with those or do an export and get the same value.
Yeah, that's definitely right. Another way that we sort of make it easy for, you know, let's say someone's not, doesn't fit nice into one of the integrations we have, we also integrate into Zapier, which basically lets you, for a whole bunch of other CRMs and products, pretty much through a nice simple web UI, turn on Stackly research.
Interesting.
So when you do these integrations, how are you measuring how successful they are? Or are you doing any testing before so that you know that building a Google spreadsheet extension is definitely going to move the needle for us?
Yeah. I'll be honest, with the Google spreadsheet, it was sort of a hack project for us internally. You know, we found that a lot of people were sending us big CSV spreadsheets where they said, hey, I'm not really able to evaluate this easily with 10 emails manually. I need a longer list. And so we said, okay, Google just launched this new spreadsheet add-on store. How can we build a direct integration there? And so that's how that channel came. With Salesforce, it was definitely like you described. It was much more about finding some initial customers, sort of pre-selling them on exactly the value we'd be delivering, and how the integration would look, and then basically, you know, building with them in mind.
What were some of the other benefits that you got out of going through Y Combinator?
There were a lot of different benefits. For me, the biggest thing, I think, was the sort of network of other founders that you're working with. So when we were going through Y Combinator, you know, just that initial founding team of a few people, and to see 60 or 80 other companies that are sort of in different stages. You know, it might be just one person who just has an idea. It might be a company that's has 10 or 20 people and is looking to raise their Series A. But they all sort of have that focus during those 3 months. And you can really learn from just the founders around you, which is great.
So we've heard a bit about, we actually thought about going through Techstars for a while earlier this year. And a lot of what we heard was that during that time, the main focus isn't necessarily on product, but on talking to investors and really figuring out what direction you want to go in without actually building the product. Is that similar for Y Combinator, or are people coming in with an idea or a product and focusing on getting leads and customers?
The mantra from the very beginning is that you need to be focused on really only two things. One is building the product, and two is talking to customers. There's no emphasis on fundraising or networking or anything like that. It's really just the idea that you should be building and launching as quickly as possible and iterating with customers. It's really only in the last, honestly, maybe 5 days leading up to demo day, which is when you present to a big room full of investors. That's when you start shifting into how do I kind of condense all the work we've done into a cohesive pitch that I can give in front of that room.
So did you find that most of the companies in your batch had something where they were basically conducting sales for finding those first customers, or are most of the companies still, you know, building out product and trying to do self-service?
I guess, do you mean that is the product complete and full function going into Y Combinator, or could you sort of rephrase that?
Yeah, more so are people kind of focusing on product and waiting for customers to find it, or are people trying to do whatever they can, whether it's through sales of the product or maybe a productized service, you know, doing some manual work around the product? Is the focus really on revenue during that time, or is it focused on building up a product?
Got it. I think it really varies, you know, company to company. I think there's definitely an emphasis on shipping something and getting, just being able to show growth. And growth could mean the number of users I have using my product, the number of some sort of engagement metric that you're tracking. But I think revenue is really the best one at the end of the day, because it shows that, you know, I've really made something that people want and that they value.
So when you finished the batch, how did you continue to get this kind of value out of it? Are you connected with mentors through that, or are there ongoing sessions where you continue to learn from these people?
Yeah. There are a few different ways. I mean, one simple one is that there's a big mailing list. And, you know, I know it sounds corny, but you'd be amazed that pretty much any question you have has, like, already been sent out to this mailing list. And so you can sort of go through and have just this knowledge base from all the other founders who've had a similar experience. I think the other point is that you can always set up office hours. So if you have a particular question or need, you want an introduction to someone, you can basically go and schedule, you know, a 20-minute meeting with any of the partners that's most relevant.
Very cool. So what is coming up next for Stacklead?
Yeah. The biggest thing for us right now is, like I said, Salesforce. Right now, we sort of have a initial version of our integration, and we're really gunning to get that in the official Salesforce App Exchange versus having it just distributed through our website. And a big piece of that is that we know that companies are using the Stacklead Salesforce connector along with other products that help them in terms of assigning their leads. And taking the integration further so that a lot of that configuration is automatic, I think will be a big improvement. And so, like, to give you a concrete example, one of the things that's included in the integration is telling you the region of all of your leads. So if they're in the US, giving you a city, state, and country. And you can use that to use some kind of round robin assignment or other assignment rules to make sure that the right sales reps are getting the right leads. And that really should be something that sort of, you know, works out of the box with our integration.
Very cool. So where do we keep up with you and the Stacklead developments online?
So everything is available at stacklead.com. I'd be happy to sort of set up for your members and listeners some kind of special to make it really easy to get started with Stacklead and try us out.
Yeah, we could link to that in the show notes.
Cool. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks so much. Have a great day.